Hello and welcome to the first edition of ICTJ Dispatches, the first episode in a new series of podcasts that will highlight missions of our thematic and senior staff to various different countries in which ICTJ works. They bring fresh insights on developments in these transitions, and especially when it comes to transitional justice mechanisms which are in place or struggle for accountability and reform in these countries. Today we are speaking to Anne Miriam Rocatello, our Deputy Director of Program, who has just returned from a mission to Côte d'Ivoire. Hello, Miriam.
Hello.
To start off, can you tell us what is your general impression of the transition Côte d'Ivoire is undergoing ever since the end of the violence in 2010 and various different measures that were instituted under the new government of President Ouattara to move the country forward and overcome the legacy of the violence?
Yes, well, thank you. Well, first of all, I would say the Côte d'Ivoire and particularly President Ouattara offered great hopes since his taking office with the establishment of a number of measures of typical transitional justice mechanism that varied from the Commission Dialogue, Vérité et Réconciliation, which is a fully-fledged commission, truth commission, and also a number of other mechanisms that were more tailored and focused on accountability, like the Commission Nationale d'Enquête, and later the Cellule Spéciale d'Enquête, which is a specific specialized office in the prosecution office that is mandated to prosecute the most egregious violations of human rights and the crimes that were committed during the electoral crisis. Now, while the paradigm of transitional justice institutions was therefore quite promising, certainly a number of problems occurred. We recognize that the maintaining the entire spectrum of these mechanisms was very intensive, also for a jurisdiction that just came out of a conflict, but certainly the expectations of the population were particularly high. Not all the transition mechanisms have worked with the speed and with the results that were expected, both of and primarily by the victims and the populations, but also by the international community that has played a crucial role in the establishment and development of these mechanisms with a direct support to the Ivorian government. Now, we are now 2 years and a half down the line from the inceptions of these institutions, and the last few months have been particularly, I would say, sensitive, because the formal mandate of at least the two main institutions, the transitional justice institution, the CDVR, the Truth Commission on one hand, and the Cellule Spéciale d'Enquête in the Public Prosecutor's Office, ended their first mandate in September. And for a actually months, the population and the entire world was waiting and expecting formal decisions on their extension. At that point in time, when the first mandate expired, the results of these institutions gave reasons for some reservations and some strong doubts. The on the CDVR side, the Truth Commission, the through the statement taking process had not yet commenced, and the institution had been focused on preliminary work of reconciliation and research, if you wish, but the with certainly a very limited involvement from the civil society side, and with under strong scrutiny from the opposition parties. These reservations and these criticisms have obviously become even stronger after the expiration of the mandate. The mandate of both institutions has extended and in December of 2013, but nevertheless, the doubts certainly remain.
What do you think are the primary reasons for the delays that have occurred? What are the explanations that you have heard?
Right. On the Truth Commission side, I gather that, as I mentioned before, the Truth Commission has carried out a work that was primarily directed at preparing the ground for reconciliation in what they believed was a precondition to encourage the population to come forward and be part of the process. We may agree or disagree on the actions that they have taken. The fact remains, however, that after 2 years and a half, the budget that was at their disposal has almost been exhausted, and the entire statement-taking process, which is the core and the raison d'être of the Truth Commission, still needs to start.
What is the status quo as you see it, and where will specifically the Dialogue, Truth and Reconciliation Commission go from here now with the extension of the mandate?
Right. Well, the status has also to take into consideration the prosecution that occurred and that I failed to mention before, which is a number of indictments have been issued. As far as we understand, these indictments involved individuals that are affiliated with the former President Gbagbo's party. That obviously has not made the situation easier, and there are strong concerns both inside the jurisdiction and from external outsider that these perceived one-side justice may compromise the entire effort. On the Truth Commission side now, after the extension of the mandate, it is clear that the Commission is determined to launch the national process for statement taking. It has been preceded in the previous weeks, a few weeks before my visit, by a pilot phase that whereby a limited number of centers were opened to receive testimony from victims. The number of victims that participated in this process was remarkable. And that is a data that I really want to stress, because regardless of the shortcomings and the difficulties that have been faced and the criticism that can be moved from a technical and operational and structural level to the CDVR, the response of the victims is something we cannot shy away from. It is an institution that works for the victim. The only purpose of existence is to reestablish the right to truth and to restore the dignity of the victims. And this fact has to be taken in consideration. I cannot stress it enough. Now, launching the national campaign for the statement taken has obviously risks, and it has to be carried out properly in order to respect the safety also of the victims that come forward and testify. A large number of victims, if we have to judge on the basis of those that responded in the pilot phase, and a large variety of category of victims that have to be treated according to their specific needs. I cannot, you know, stress enough how important it is to have the proper facility to receive women and particularly children that we know have been a targeted group during the violence. So this process is extremely important, given the limited time remaining at the disposal of the Commission, because the mandate has been extended only until September of 2014. It's going to be extremely labor and intensive, and with a lot of scrutiny. It has. It also poses great, you know, concerns about in the results may really determine a change in the perception of the population, of the opposition, which still obviously is needs to come on board, and more recently has been progressively stronger and stronger in voicing their criticism towards the process. So it is important to conduct it well, and that's what ICTJ is particularly concerned about.
To finish this conversation on that exact point, what will be, in your opinion, ICTJ's engagement, and what will we be working in relation to the process?
Well, ideally, ICTJ, given our expertise and our experience, would be well placed in assisting the CDVR, as we did in the past, in ensuring that the process is conducted professionally and with all the guarantees that are required for the for the victims, and to ensure that the rights of the victims are fully respected and reinforced, because that's the also the purpose of the process. Now, it has to be said that the latest developments have put in question the level of engagement, not only from ICTJ, but from the international and donor community as a whole. And therefore, it is now a crucial moment where we really need to gather, to regroup, and think what is most important for Ivory Coast, and what is more importantly essential for the victims, and to ensure that their dignity and their rights are respected.
Well, Miriam, thank you very much for this update from Côte d'Ivoire, and thank you for breaking the ice on our new series, ICTJ Dispatches. To all our listeners, until the next time, all the best.
Thank you very much.